Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Extra Time. John Steele here, as usual. This is a kind of bonus midweek review for J2, but also, please stay tuned after that, because all of the latest J3 news is here as usual in the J-Talk Short Corner segment with Mike Innes. So, without further ado, yes, the first part of this pod is a roundup of all of the midweek J2 action. In round 36 on Wednesday night, all 22 teams had a game, so there's lots to round up, so I'll get straight on with it. First of all, at the top of the table, Albirex Niigata have finally pulled clear. This is after winning 2-1 away at Kofu on Wednesday night. Niigata went in front in the 18th minute at the JIT Recycle Inc. Stadium, with Yota Komi squeezing the ball in at the near post from almost at the byline after a quick interchange of passes had set him free inside the box. Then it was 2-0 on 64 minutes when Yoshiaki Takagi's perfectly weighted through ball released Shunsuke Mito, and he fired under Kohei Kawata from about 12 yards. Kofu introduced Willian Lira up front for the last 20 minutes, and he almost rescued a point for his team all by himself. He forced a pair of excellent saves from Ryosuke Kojima in the Niigata goal straight away, and then he pulled a goal back with 9 minutes remaining. He was set free inside the penalty area, and he beautifully dinked the ball over the advancing Kojima from about 6 yards to set up an exciting end to the game. There was one more face-off between Lira and Kojima before full-time, with the Niigata keeper making a flying save from Lira's header, but it finished Kofu 1, Niigata 2. So Niigata now 3 points clear of the team in second place, and 8 points clear of third. Perhaps that's the more important statistic at the moment. They look like a really good bet for automatic promotion, don't they? Yokohama FC are the team in second place, but they had a very tough night up in Yamagata, losing 2-0 after a pair of late goals from Thiago Alves. Yokohama were on the back foot for most of the first half in this game. They never really seemed to get going. Yamagata hit the post twice in the first period through Shuto Kawai and Ibuki Fujita, and Taiki Kato had the ball in the net for the home side, but it was disallowed correctly, I think, for offside. At the start of the second half, Yokohama had their big chance to go in front, but Yamagata keeper Masaki Goto did brilliantly to save from Tomoki Kondo at close range. And then the home side finally got the breakthrough they'd been craving. In the 79th minute, Fujita sent Thiago Alves racing clear with a lofted through ball from the right-hand touchline, and the Portuguese attacker confidently fired past Sven Brodersen from inside the penalty area. Just 4 minutes after that, it was 2-0. A deflected cross from De La Torre found Thiago Alves inside the penalty area again, and his shot was deflected past Brodersen off the hapless Yokohama defender Takumi Nakamura, who again didn't have the best game on the night. But nobody in the Yokohama FC team did, and it finished Yamagata 2, Yokohama FC 0. Yamagata, 4 points outside the playoff zone, but perhaps crucially to keep in mind, they have played a game fewer than all of the teams in the top six. Yokohama FC haven't won in their last 3 matches, but they're still 5 points clear of third place, because the team in third place, Okayama, were beaten 1-0 away at Inform Tokushima on Wednesday. A 52nd-minute goal from Shota Fujio was the difference in this game. He headed in after Kazuki Nishiya had headed across from Eiji Shirai into his path. Fujio nearly added a second goal for Tokushima shortly after that in quite a tight game, but Fujio blazed over the bar when he should have hit the target. But it finished, yes, Tokushima 1, Okayama 0. Tokushima now an astonishing 14 games unbeaten. They're in 10th, and they're 5 points outside the playoff places, but in the form that they're in, maybe it's too early to count them out of a top 6 finish just yet. Okayama, yes, beaten in this game, but I don't think they'll panic. They were on a 4-match winning run coming into this game, and they are 5 points clear of the 4th place team. Now, that fourth place team is Sendai, again, who got a first win under their new coach Akira Ito away at Tochigi. It finished Tochigi 0, Sendai 1. Sendai had an early scare when Tochigi forward Ko Miyazaki headed against the angle of the bar in the post, but it was a header at the other end of the pitch that proved to be the vital one. In the 35th minute, Masato Nakayama headed in a left-wing cross from Koji Hachitsuka for the all-important Sendai goal. In the second half, Sendai keeper Yuma Obata made several good saves to protect his side's lead, including a brilliant stop with his feet from a Yojiro Takahagi header. So Tochigi 0, Sendai 1 at full time. Sendai finally end their 5-game losing streak and keep their playoff chances very much alive. For Tochigi, well, they slide down to 18th, but they are 7 points clear of the relegation zone, and they have a game in hand on the bottom 3 in the table, so they won't be panicking too much just yet, I don't think. Ruaso Kumamoto are still 5th in the table, despite a goalless draw at home to Machida on Wednesday evening. Kumamoto had most of the possession and the chances in this game, but Machida keeper Koki Fukui had an excellent match and he repelled everything that Kumamoto could throw at him, so not too much to report in terms of goalmouth action. It finished Kumamoto 0, Machida 0. Now, Kumamoto a level on points with Sendai in 4th, that's at 58 points apiece, but 8 goals behind Sendai on goal difference. For Machida, 6 points off the playoff zone in 11th, and also out of form. This draw was the first point that they've picked up in 4 matches, so you have to say on that basis, it's difficult to see them getting into the top 6 now. 6th placed Oita had their 3-game winning streak ended by Omiya in an entertaining game at the NAC 5 stadium. It finished 2-2. Omiya got a perfect start when they took the lead in the 4th minute. A corner was flicked on by Seiya Nakano to the far post, where Yutaro Hakamata arrived to score. He actually fired the ball against the post, but it ricocheted back off him and into the net. And Omiya haven't had that kind of luck very often this season, so I think they'll be very happy to take it. It was 1-1 though in the 12th minute after a corner at the other end. Brazilian centre-back Pereira headed in from about the 6-yard box, and then he demanded the ball from the Omiya keeper Koshimura so that he could stuff it under his shirt for the rocking the baby celebration, which I think we've established on the pod should be banned. But he did it anyway. So 1-1 in the 12th minute. Oita then went ahead in the 21st minute. Samuel heading home unmarked from 6 yards after a left-wing cross from Keita Takahata. And yes, the Oita players busted out the rocking the baby celebration again. Under my rules, they'd all have been sent off. But anyway, I'm not in charge. But yes, 2-1 to Oita in the 21st minute. But it was 2-2 before the break when Hiroki Kurimoto dispossessed Mu Kanazaki on the halfway line. He fed Masaya Shibayama, who played in Seiya Nakano, and he swept the ball past Shun Yoshida in the Oita goal. So 2-2 at half time. And the players, I think, exhausted themselves with that. It was 2-2 at full time as well. No further goals in the second half. So it finished Omiya 2, Oita 2. Oita then 2 points ahead of the 7th place team in the table, that's Nagasaki, although Nagasaki have the extra game, remember. Omiya are in 19th, 2 points outside the relegation zone, but they also have a game in hand on the teams below them. Speaking of the drop zone, the bottom 2 sides at the start of the day went head-to-head as Gunma hosted Ryukyu at Shoda Stadium, and perhaps unsurprisingly, given the magnitude of the occasion, it finished 0-0. Both sides hit the frame of the goal in the first half. Yuki Kusano fired against the post for Ryukyu, and at the other end, a header from Ryo Kawamoto grazed the top of the crossbar. And Gunma had the ball in the net in the second half with a smart volley from, I think, Tomoya Takagi, but it was disallowed. And I watched this a few times on the replay. I don't know whether there was a push somewhere in the build-up or possibly even a high foot was given against Takagi for his finish, but it seemed very harsh to me, and I'm still not really sure why that goal was disallowed, but disallowed it was, and it finished, yes, Gunma 0, Ryukyu 0. So Ryukyu stay 3 points adrift at the bottom of the table. This was a third straight draw for Gunma, and it was enough to lift them out of the relegation places on goal difference. That's because the team that were above them at the start of play, Iwate, were beaten 2-1 at home by Jeff Chiba. Now, there was a nightmare start for the hosts here as they conceded a penalty in just the fourth minute after a handball from their Brazilian forward Cristiano. He was back to defend a corner and got it wrong. The penalty was thumped in by Solomon Sakuragawa and Jeff were in front, but Iwate kept going and equalised on the half hour through Morelato. A long ball set him free down the Iwate left, and with the Jeff goalkeeper Shota Arai expecting a cross, Morelato cleverly fired the ball in at the near post for 1-1. And the home side nearly went ahead before half time, Iki Arai making a great goal line block from Tsuyoshi Miyachi. And then Iwate threatened again in the second half with a header that hit the top of the crossbar. At the other end, Jeff hit the base of the post with a free kick that led to a goalmouth scramble, from which Iwate just about survived. But then 11 minutes from full time, Jeff broke Iwate's resistance when Taishi Taguchi headed in Shunsuke Nishikubo's cross to make it 2-1. And that's how it finished, Iwate 1, Jeff Chiba 2. So Iwate, yes, back in the relegation zone on goal difference, but it's still all to play for at the bottom. Jeff a ninth and 4 points adrift of the playoff places. So, yeah, don't even really want to comment on that. I suppose they could finish in the top six, but it's Jeff, so they probably won't. In the other games on Wednesday night, 7th placed Nagasaki kept up the pressure on the top 6 by winning 1-0 away at Mito. This was a tight game and not many chances came up, but the big turning point was in around the 70th minute. Naoki Tsubaki should have put Mito in front, but he messed up his volley right in front of goal and sent the ball over the crossbar. At the other end, Edgar Junior had a shot cleared off the line, but only as far as Clayson, who swept the ball home from 6 yards for the crucial goal that earned Nagasaki 3 vital points. That was in the 72nd minute. So it finished, yes, Mito 0, Nagasaki 1. Nagasaki 2 points behind the 6th place side at Oita, as mentioned, but they have that game in hand. Mito are comfortable and safe in 12th. There was a welcome away win for Akita, 2-0 against Tokyo Verdy at Ajinomoto Stadium. Verdy nearly took the lead in the 42nd minute when a header from Hiroto Taniguchi came back off the post and then the follow-up was cleared off the goal line. But it was Akita who went in front in first half stoppage time. Keita Saito's header from a corner hit the Verdy post, and Ryuji Saito, no relation, was on hand to force the loose ball over the line. So Akita were 1-0 up at the break. This game was in the balance though until about 8 minutes from full time when an own goal secured all 3 points for the visitors. Verdy centre-back Tomohiro Taira, wearing the captain's armband here, headed past his own goalkeeper from Ryota Nakamura's right wing cross. So yeah, disappointing result for Tokyo Verdy, but yeah, great win for Akita. A first ever J-League win for them over Verdy, and it leaves them in 13th place, a full 10 points clear of the relegation zone, and 1 point ahead of Tokyo Verdy, who are 14th. And last for round 36 from Wednesday night, Yamaguchi and Kanazawa drew 1-1 at the Ishin MiLife Stadium. Kanazawa took the lead with an absolute missile from Kazuya Onohara in the 36th minute here. He took aim from 25 yards and sent a rising drive into the net, a superb goal from him. In the second half, Kanazawa keeper Yuto Shirai made a brilliant close-range save as Yamaguchi tried to get back into the game. Sadly for Kanazawa though, Shirai was beaten in the 63rd minute when a free kick was cleared to the edge of the Kanazawa box. Takayuki Mae drilled in the ball from about 20 yards to make it 1-1. So yeah, Yamaguchi won, Kanazawa won at full time. Kanazawa are 16th, 8 points clear of the drop zone, with Yamaguchi just 1 point and 1 place behind them. Alright, just time before I go to look at the round 37 games coming up this weekend. Obviously, with all of the J2 teams having a Wednesday night game, all of the games bar one are being played on Sunday this week. But there is one match on Saturday, September the 17th, and it's a big one. Okayama against Nagasaki at City Light Stadium. So that's 3rd against 7th. If Okayama win, they will close the gap on Yokohama FC and the automatic promotion places to just 2 points, albeit perhaps only for 24 hours. But still, it could be very significant if they can get the win. Conversely for Nagasaki, you know, if they can win, then they'll go into the playoff zone for the first time in a good long while. They'll be in the top 6 overnight. On Sunday, September the 18th, there are summer early kickoffs as we kind of get closer to autumn. In Japan at 1 p.m, it's Sendai against Tokushima, so 4th place against 10th, intriguing game that one. At 2 p.m, it's Akita against Gunma, so 13th place hosting 20th. Gunma really needs some points there, don't they? 5 matches at 6 p.m. on Sunday, so there's leaders Niigata hosting mid-table Mito, and a similar looking fixture on paper, 2nd place Yokohama FC, they host 15th placed Kofu at Mitsuzawa. Also at 6 p.m. there's Yamagata hosting Jeff Chiba, Machida hosting Tokyo Verdy in another Tokyo Classic, and at Kanazawa against Oita, so 16th placed hosting 6th as well. There's one game at 6:30, and it's another big one, as they all are now, for FC Ryukyu, the bottom side. They host Yamaguchi, so Ryukyu against Yamaguchi, bottom against 17th place, that's at 6:30. And then to round off the match day, there's two games at 7 o'clock, another big one coming up at NAC 5, it's Omiya against Tochigi, 19th versus 18th, that'll be the hashtag big boy football for the weekend, I suspect. And then 5th place Kumamoto, they host the second bottom side, Iwate, so that's another big game for the team at the bottom. But also Kumamoto will need the points, because that top 6 race is getting increasingly congested as we get closer to the end of the season. Okay, so lots to look forward to in round 37 this weekend. Hopefully that was a pretty comprehensive review of the midweek games as well. So yeah, thanks for listening. Please stay tuned though, in a moment after some music, Magic Mike Innes is going to be back with us. He's going to bring us up to date with all of the latest J3 action as well. So thanks for listening, and yeah, we'll talk soon. Cheers, bye for now. J-Talk
Extra Time. Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode, I'll be looking back on the fixtures in Round 24 and the midweek catch-up game, as well as previewing the Round 25 matches coming up this weekend. First, an item of J3 news since the last pod. The J-League have announced the winners of the Player, Coach and Goal of the Month awards for August. It's a clean sweep for Iwaki FC, as rookie striker Ryo Arita takes the Player prize and Hiromasa Suguri is named Coach of the Month after the team picked up 10 points from their 4 August matches. The goal choice is Shota Suzuki's angled volley over the keeper for Iwaki against Fujieda Mai FC in round 22. Congratulations to all concerned. Now on to the action, and round 24 began with 6 games on Saturday the 10th of September. Only one of the main 3 promotion-chasing sides had a Saturday fixture. That was Matsumoto Yamaga, who kept up the pressure on their rivals by eking out a narrow win at Fukushima United. The only goal of the game at the Toho Minnano Stadium came in the 4th minute, Ryo Toyama finishing at the far post after good work down the right by Lukao. Yusuke Kikui hit the post with a 15-yard pile driver shortly before the break as Matsumoto looked to extend their lead. But at the other end, it was a bad day at the office for Fukushima striker Junya Takahashi, who midway through the first half saw his penalty saved by Yamaga keeper Victor, and then, just after the hour, blasted off target when the visiting defence opened up for him. Final score, Fukushima 0, Matsumoto 1. The hosts had their chances but couldn't take them, and hence find themselves solidly in mid-table. Yamaga make it 4 straight wins as the battle intensifies for a top 2 finish. Of the teams in the chasing pack behind Matsumoto, 3 were able to win their Saturday matches. Katare Toyama left it late at home to Tagebajaro Miyazaki, having taken a 17th minute lead through Makoto Rindo, who poked home the rebound after Musashi Oyama's shot hit the bar. Segafajano tying things up early in the second half when Yuki Okada latched on to Yudai Tokunaga's high through ball and volleyed past Genki Yamada. The match was heading for a draw, but in the 82nd minute, Shota Kawanishi found space on the left to send in a low cross. Shunta Takahashi's shot was blocked and Oyama fired the loose ball home from 6 yards. Final score, Toyama 2, Miyazaki 1. Goals in consecutive games for Katane's Oyama, looking an important player for the team now after failing to make an impact earlier on this season. Segafajano fought hard but couldn't deny a determined home side. And Fujieda My FC picked up a first win in 3 at home to Venerale Hachinohe. My FC were quick out of the blocks in this one, going in front with less than 2 minutes on the clock. Jun Suzuki down the left feeding Akiyuki Yokoyama, whose pass set up Keigo Enomoto to cut inside past both Masanobu Komaki and Tepe Chikaishi to slot the ball inside the far post. Neither team defended brilliantly, but Vanarana keeper Kazuki Hattori deserves credit for a fine display of shot stopping. He couldn't do much about the host's second in the 68th minute. Jun Suzuki's shot, after good work from Tojiro Kubo, picking up a wicked deflection off Yuki Aida, which took it away from Hattori and inside the post. Substitute Kaito Kamiya hit the bar from a free kick as My FC pushed for a third, but it ended Fujieda 2, Hachinohe 0. 3 vital points for Daisuke Sudo's team, still in with a shout of a top 2 finish. Vanrare remain second bottom with the second poorest attacking record in the division. In front of an Ehime derby crowd in excess of 9,000, Ehime FC emerged triumphant from a dramatic match against FC Imabari. The local rivals are now separated in the standings only by goals scored. Ehime in 6th, Imabari a place below them. The Mighty Mikans were 1-0 up at the break, Takumi Sasaki giving them a 28th-minute lead when he received a pass from Takashi Kondo, stepped forward a couple of paces and rifled a low shot past Shu Mogi from 25 yards. The game exploded into life shortly after the restart with 4 goals in 18 minutes. First, Imabari pulled level as the home defence couldn't clear a corner and the ball fell to Kohei Tomita, whose left foot shot squeezed past Kenta Tokushige. And then the away side took the lead from another corner kick, this time big defender Tomoya Ando scoring an extraordinary towering header which looped beyond the reach of Tokushige and under the bar. But Imabari were in front for only 3 minutes, Riki Matsuda heading in the loose ball to equalise after Takashi Kondo's shot was blocked by Wakaba Shimoguchi. And in the 66th minute, Matsuda got what turned out to be the winner for Ehime, receiving a pass after a surging run from Motoki Ohara and curling in from 20 yards. Imabari went all out for an equaliser, Marcus Indio first pulling a brilliant save from Tokushige with a close-range header, then hitting the side net with a right-foot shot, and then putting one just wide with his left after Imabari keeper Mogi had headed on a near-post corner. But it ended Ehime 3, Imabari 2. A glimmer of hope for the home side after 3 games without a win, while Imabari's previously first-rate defence have now conceded 9 times in the last 270 minutes of football. Meanwhile, AC Nagano Paseiro are 10 points off the pace after they drew at FC Gifu. Nagano keeper Issei Oichi kept his team in it with a string of good saves, and with only 8 minutes remaining, Paseiro took the lead. Veteran substitute Daichi Inui scoring with his first touch in an orange shirt, a brave header from Takuma Mizutani's curling free kick. Gifford grabbed an equaliser in the 90th minute via a hotly contested penalty kick awarded for a handball against Takuya Akiyama, dispatched by Kosuke Fujioka for his 10th of the season. Visiting coach Yuki Stauff and defender Hayato Ikegaya were both booked in the closing moments as temperatures ran high, but it ended Gifu 1, Nagano 1. 3 unbeaten now for Gifu, but they remain stuck in mid-table. For Paseiro, that looks like it for their promotion dreams. Gainare Tottori are up to 4 wins in the last 6 games as they eased past Azul Claro Numazu at the Axis Bird Stadium. Kim Jong-song's side were ahead in only the 4th minute, teenage striker Ryusei Takao picking up the ball unpressured by the visiting defence and letting fly from 30 yards, giving Masataka Nomura in the Numazu goal no chance. Dominant Gainare doubled their lead on 25 minutes, Hiroto Sese sending in a cross and Ryosuke Tamura powering home the header, and the hosts rounded off the scoring with 12 minutes left, Daichi Ishikawa nodding in Koki Ishii's cross. Final score, Tottori 3, Numazu 0, Gainare again proving their attacking strength, although Azul Claro, still under caretaker coach Kazuhito Mochizuki, looked as if they couldn't wait for the season to be over. Matsumoto won on Saturday, but on Sunday the 11th, the other two teams in the front-running trio picked up maximum points to maintain their positions. Leaders Iwaki FC were far from at their best and needed an 88-minute penalty to steal the victory at Giravance Kitakyushu. Shu Yoshizawa was brought down by Nobuki Iketaka. Kotaro Arima scored from the spot. Final score, Kitakyushu 0, Iwaki 1. 4 1-0 defeats in 5 now for Giravance. And in context, where last week's 3-2 win at Imabari came from is hard to fathom. While Iwaki make it 10 unbeaten and seem to be accelerating towards the finish line. Their nearest challengers remain Kagoshima United, who, at home to Kamatamari Sanuki, recovered from conceding inside the first minute to win by the odd goal in 5. It was Kohei Matsumoto who put Sanuki in front, slipping between Atsuki Satsukawa and Shintaro Ihara to head in Shunta Nakamura's cross. Kagoshima pulled level on 27 minutes when Junki Goryo cut inside from the right and fired in a shot from the edge of the area that top scorer Koki Arita flicked past Takuya Takahashi. Within 5 minutes, Arita had struck again, converting a penalty after Kota Hoshi's cross had struck the hand of Sanuki defender Yushi Mizobuchi. And 10 minutes into the second half, Arita completed his hat-trick with the best of the bunch, another Hoshi cross from the right-hand side, this time a peach of a near-post glancing header. But the Noodle Boys pulled one back with 23 minutes remaining, Nakamura finding space and firing into the top corner from 5 yards outside the area. Final score, Kagoshima 3, Sanuki 2. Anita, the hero for the home side, and didn't he milk it? But let's look at the defence for a moment. In the last 6 games, Kagoshima have conceded 10 goals, promotion rivals Matsumoto 5, Iwaki only 1. Have Naoto Otake's team sprung a leak at exactly the wrong time? Kamatamari's winless run, meanwhile, now stands at 9. And finally for round 24, bottom side YSCC Yokohama crashed at home to SC Sagamihara in the Kanagawa Derby. 2-goal Yuen Matsuhashi will take the headlines for the Green and Blacks, but Jungo Fujimoto's assist for the 35th minute opener was a thing of beauty, a chipped pass that took out the whole of the home defence and which Matsuhashi controlled with his chest to shoot past Ryo Ishii. Matsuhashi's second came in first half. Injury time, definitely not a thing of beauty, but instead a disastrous attempt by YSCC to play out from the back that concluded with Ishii passing the ball straight to the 20-year-old, who accepted the invitation to score unchallenged from 15 yards. The home team started the second period more brightly, new striker Loris Tinelli laying it off for Ryotaro Yamamoto, whose shot brought a great save out of Kentaro Kakkoi. But soon afterwards it was 3-0, Ryoma Ishida taking advantage of some uncertain YSCC defending to barge his way goalwards and hammer it into the roof of the net from 8 yards. And Keisuke Ito marked his J-League debut by scoring the fourth, intercepting Tinelli's wayward pass to race through the visiting back line and rifle a shot inside the far post. Final score, YSCC 0, Sagamihara 4. YSCC not able to play on the front foot. Sagamihara recording comfortably their biggest win of the season. Just to mention also the rescheduled game on Tuesday the 14th, which saw the completion of the abandoned round 21 fixture between Gifu and Fujieda. My FC were one up via an Akiyuki Yokoyama goal when the original match was called off in the 22nd minute due to thunderstorms. In the remainder of the first half, there were half chances at both ends, but the key moment of the game occurred just after the hour when Gifu keeper Kazushige Kirihata raced off his line to collect a through pass, in so doing flattening Fujieda striker Ryo Watanabe. A clear penalty coolly converted by Watanabe for his first goal for the club. Then with 16 minutes remaining, Ryota Iwabuchi's cross reached the back post unimpeded by the home defence and Keigo Enomoto headed past Kirihata. Final score, Gifu 0, Fujieda 3. The home side couldn't take the chances. My FC displayed a perhaps uncharacteristic resilience to close out their second win and second clean sheet in 5 days. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after round 24, noting that Fujieda and Numazu have a game in hand. The top six teams are Iwaki with 54 points, Kagoshima and Matsumoto with 50, Fujieda and Toyama 45, and Ehime 41. At the other end of the table, the bottom four are, in 15th, Sagamihara with 23 points, Sanuki and Hachinohe both 19, and bottom with 14, YSCC. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the round 25 fixtures over the weekend, when there are three games on Saturday the 17th of September. Toyama will hope to sustain their promotion push at Numazu. There's a big match at the foot of the table where YSCC host Sanuki, and Hachinohe are at home to Gifu. The other six matches are on Sunday the 18th. Leaders Iwaki go to Imabari. Kagoshima are at home to Kitakyushu. Matsumoto meet in-form Tottori at the Alwyn Stadium. Fujieda need 3 points at home to Sagamihara. Ehime go to Miyazaki. And finally, Nagano play host to Fukushima. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.